Just last week, I was performing at a cancer support group. We were talking about the incredible support in those groups. You walk in, and it doesn't matter your race, religion, if you have hair or no hair. And we got to thinking, what would life be like if in our society we supported each other like that? And you know, it does happen, but we don't always hear those stories. So I'd like to share one of those stories with you today about when people from all walks of life have come together and supported each other. I call it the other 9/11. There are some days we will never forget, and I know that for many of us that's September 11th, 2001. You might not know, but in Chicago that night there's a mosque at 92nd Street, and people who were angry and frustrated and hurting and not thinking marched on that mosque with bricks and boards and rocks, gosh only knows. And only because the police got there just in time to throw up some barricades did it keep that mosque from broken windows, graffiti, maybe worse. And I know this was very fresh in the police minds because some of you remember that after the Oklahoma City bombing, that horrible tragedy, there was a mosque in Springfield, Illinois, other places I'm sure, that was burnt to the ground. And later they found out that Timothy McVeigh, a so-called Christian man, had done that bombing. And it's so interesting that as a Christian, somebody raised Christian, I wasn't afraid of how I would be perceived once they caught Timothy McVeigh. But after 9/11, many of my Muslim friends were just, better not be one of us, better not be one of us. Somebody misusing our religion, better not be one of us. And I'd heard my black friends say that so often, better not be one of us. And I realized that they really faced, because of the stereotype of their group, they faced possible repercussions as individuals. One of my friends just said, now what's going to happen to us? Now that somebody who calls himself Muslim, so-called Muslim, has been identified as causing 9/11. Well, the next day, there was a larger demonstration by the largest intersection by that same mosque at 95th and Harlem. Crowds were milling around and cars were moving back and forth, honking their cars and their horns. And some people were running out into the intersection with signs, said things like white power, which is so crazy because many Muslims are white, right? And this is the beginning of the end, and choose which side you're going to be on. And men in the back of pickups with huge American flags on long poles looking like medieval jousters ready to ram somebody went speeding through the intersection. The crowd would wave and cheer, and the police were out there trying to get everybody to keep moving, but it seemed the objective was becoming to take over that intersection, whatever that would prove. So people were yelling and ignoring the police and the stoplights, and they're inching their cars out into the middle of that intersection until finally there was complete gridlock. And now people could run on the top of the cars and the pickups and wave their fists and their white power signs. Yeah, white power! Well, that evening there had been a few people who had been caught in that traffic mayhem. And they went to their local meeting, the Southwest Organizing Project, that met on 63rd Street, a few miles south of where this whole demonstration had taken place. And they said to each other, we've got to do something. We can't let ugly history repeat itself. What's that saying? The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. So they found they all had these same concerns and this sense of urgency, but what could they do? They didn't want to meet violence with violence, of course. And they came up with what I thought was a pretty clever idea. They decided to make circles of peace around the mosque in their neighborhood. There was a mosque at 63rd Street. Now, I have to tell you that many people at this meeting didn't even know they had a mosque in their neighborhood. It was just a simple storefront place of worship. Well, the next day was Friday, the Muslim Sabbath, and they decided they would form a protective ring of sympathy, of solidarity, and hopefully a deterrent to any kind of violence. About 150 people stood shoulder to shoulder, and they had signs of peace from their own religions. Pax Christi, some of the signs read, Peace of Christ, or Shalom from the Jewish tradition. And they had a newspaper account there. They had newspaper coverage showing these pictures, but also quoted the president of the mosque, Hatem Ferez. He was from the Chicago Islamic Center. And he was quoted as saying how much he appreciated the Circle of Peace support. He said, "I feel they feel with us." And he told about how he, the mosque, had gotten death threats that day. And talking about 9/11, he said, "We had nothing to do with this deplorable act. Our Islamic faith doesn't permit this violence. We are all in mourning." And certainly Hatem was, for his cousin had been on the 82nd floor of the World Trade Center when that first plane hit the tower. And also in a newspaper account, it talked about a young man on his way to Juma prayer when he saw the demonstrators. Now, he had gotten catcalls all his life walking up and down 63rd Street, even though his family had lived in that Market Park area for since the 1960s. But he knew of the death threats, and he thought, you know, should I go home, or is that the brave thing to do, to go? And then one of the men holding a sign in front of his mosque turned around. He was an older man, 70 years old or so, white, snowy hair, and he smiled. And the young man looked and saw that the sign he carried said, "Assalamu alaikum," the Arabic blessing, "Peace be unto you." And the young man knew that the demonstrators were there to protect them, not to hurt them. What a nearby Catholic girls' school, Maria High School on 67th Street. They decided the following week to suspend many of the classes so they could work with the girls at the school about these events of 9/11. The principal of that school, Sister Margaret Zalot, and some of the teachers had been part of that Circle of Peace. And they taught the girls about how when people get frustrated and they're just not thinking straight, they scapegoat other people, blame other people, but how people have always stood together. And the students were very moved. They listened to what they were taught. But the teachers had created monsters, because the next week, Southwest Organizing Project decided to hold a Circle of Peace again at that Friday Juma prayer. And guess who wanted to come along? Yes, of course, the girls did, but it was too dangerous. Some of you might remember the violence after 9/11. Several men who were Sikh, a completely different religion, were shot and killed. One man in a very safe suburb of Arizona who owned a gas station was working at his gas station when somebody drove by and shot, thinking he was Muslim. I mean, just crazy stuff was happening. They couldn't risk the girls being down there and maybe getting hurt. So they came up with an alternative, because they couldn't discourage the girls either, right? They just taught them all week about how important it was to take stands for your neighbors. So they came up with this alternative, that the girls would write letters and they would distribute them after Juma prayer. So the Circle of Peace met again. There was even more people, and the people prayed inside undisturbed. And when they came out from Friday prayers, they were handed these letters filled with prayers and love from the girls. They read these teens' letters out loud. They said things like, "We love you. You are our neighbors. We stand by and for you." People said there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And Sister Margaret Zalot, the principal, shared with me that she'd gotten many, you know, letters from the mosque thanking them and such. But she said the letter that stood out the most for her was a letter she had gotten from one of her students' fathers. One of the girls' fathers had written in, and he said, "I want to thank you for everything you did this week, including teaching me. After 9/11, I was so angry, I confess, part of me wanted some kind of response, some kind of revenge. I wondered how I could help my daughter. Instead, you helped my daughter help me." Well, the school wasn't done. Maria High School said, we can't just make this be a one-time thing. So they started to arrange for get-togethers with the girls from Maria High School and the girls from the Universal Islamic School in Bridgeview in their neighborhood. And they brought the girls together, and once again the newspapers showed up and they said things, "Catholic, Muslim girls, much to share, much in common." And they did. The girls talked about school, of course, and shopping and dating and politics and whose parents were stricter. Well, later that spring, Southwest Organizing Project got together with other community groups around Chicago and decided they would hold a day of dialogue, a day of peace. They rented the Navy Pier Ballroom by downtown Chicago on the lake. But it was one of those first lovely Sunday spring days. And if anybody lives in cold climates, you know, when you have long winters and it's finally nice out, everybody's outside. But they were like, oh, no, nobody's going to come the first nice day. 4,000 people showed up, Muslim and non-Muslim. And it was really lovely how they had it structured. They'd have somebody who was of Islamic faith, somebody who wasn't, stand up there together. And they would give them a topic such as religion, place of women, politics, whatever. And they would talk and they would model good dialogue procedure, right? And then we would all turn to our small group. We were all broken into small groups. And then we would talk about that topic. And I especially remember the young teens getting up. And they were handed the topic of fashion. And the girl who was Muslim said to the girl who was Christian, she said, doesn't Britney Spears and those rock stars, you know, showing their midriffs and cleavage, doesn't that embarrass you? And every parent of whatever faith, no faith, was in that room going, yes, yes, doesn't that embarrass you? And then I remember that the Christian girl said to the Muslim girl, you know, at first I thought the hijab was kind of strange, the headscarf, but I started to think that hijab could come in handy, you know, when you're having a bad hair day. And the girl from the Islamic school, she laughed and said, but you know how you have bad hair days? We have bad hijab days. Sometimes you just can't get that scarf to sit on right, and then you got a ponytail or some lump under the scarf. Well, in my small group, I had a young teen boy, about 15, from a northwest suburb in Chicago. And then there was a businessman who had this very beautiful long cashmere coat on. And then I had a man who was Muslim from India, so he would have been a minority in India as well as in the United States. And then I had two cab drivers, one from Pakistan, one from Uganda, who had just heard about the event on the radio and came driving in. And you can imagine the sound in that room with 4,000 people speaking at once. We all had to lean in really close to hear the other people in our group. And as we talked about the topics and we listened to each other's dreams and hopes and families and you know, the wishes we had for our lives, it's as if all that positive energy just rose up in the Navy Pier ballroom and emanated out of there, up and down the lakefront, and then across the whole Chicago area, because after that, all the white power and such demonstrations just stopped. What does it take for ugly history not to repeat itself? It takes people who are willing to go and stand in front of places they've never been, to protect a religion they've never practiced, or to come together on whatever day this is you're listening to these recordings, and I hope listening to the stories of the people in your life, so that we can be there for each other, and then we can speak and celebrate the truth that we are one.